I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good Monday. Welcome to another episode of The Memo. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Brad Locke. Brad, how are you, sir?
The prodigal podcaster's back.
Spit on me when you did that. Thank you.
Prodigal podcaster.
That's why you have the windscreen so you don't pop your peas.
Sorry, Chris.
It's okay. He's over there in a poncho. Like a Blue Man Group concert.
In a poncho?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not fair. Why would they make that word a P?
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to the listeners.
Sorry for spitting in your ears.
If you spit through the speaker, that's a whole other issue.
Yeah. You get electrocuted.
Because that's the weird part of that.
Exactly.
How are you?
Good. How are you? I'm all good. Relaxed from your Disney trip?
No, Disney is not a relaxing place.
I know.
Disney's work.
It is. All the walking. How many miles did you walk?
I think Fitbit said totaled up about 54,000. 50, I was thinking steps. 54 miles.
Over how many days?
8.
Wow, so that's like 7 miles.
That's not really that much.
Day, give or take.
Yeah.
We went like 3 years ago.
But for people who stay in their cubicle all day long, that's pretty good.
Exactly. We went 3 years ago and we did all that walking, and I ended up with a bulging disc after that, so that was fun.
You're just falling apart left and right, aren't you?
I am.
I'm sorry.
Once you get my age, Derek, it's just all downhill.
I got 20 years before that happens.
Wait, hold on.
Your math
needs work.
Aren't you 50?
See, one of my wife's friends likes to do that. She keeps telling me, I'm like, oh, you're 56 now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 56.
It's not funny.
She's like your age.
She's a friend's wife.
She's just one of those whippersnappers like you.
Oh, I hate whippersnappers.
Insufferable young people.
I hate young people. I do feel old, though.
Why?
Well, you know, it was like walking around the park and you were like, you want to ride this? No, not anymore.
10 years ago, maybe
10, 15 years ago, but that looks like it would hurt.
Yeah. Oh, we went a few years ago. I can't remember what it was. It was some NASA simulator type thing.
Oh, Mission Space.
I almost lost my lunch.
That's a rough one.
There were kids next to me, you know, 10, 12 years old. They seemed fine. I really had to work hard to keep my lunch down.
Wesley,
I was like, nope, not doing that
again.
Wesley's
not tall enough for that one, so that one did not happen.
Roller coasters, I'm fine. Tower of Terror, I was fine.
They've got one since you've been there called the Seven Dwarves Mine Train, which you like go through the caves of the Seven Dwarves, pick the diamonds and everything in, and it's rough. It's not that bad. I limped off of Space Mountain. I mean, like cricking my neck, like.
Yeah.
That one hurt a little bit.
Yeah. That was a fun one, though. I want to say I went on that one twice when we went.
It's a long one.
Yeah.
It lasts like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous for a roller coaster.
It's awesome.
Does the dark make it worse?
To me, it does, because like I was saying earlier, you can brace for things when you see them coming in the light that you don't know is coming in the dark. And to me, that makes it worse because you just get slung around left and right. Of course, that's one of the oldest. I mean, Space Mountain's iconic Disney. Been there for...
Speaking of iconic...
Forever.
But also creepy, It's a Small World ride.
I'd rather ride any roller coaster.
Yeah.
But It's a Small World. It terrifies me. Have I told you my story about It's a Small
World? That's basically a little... horror show, right?
Yes, it is. Have I told you my story about it?
I don't know.
Okay, so we went last year, and the ride stopped inside one of the rooms.
No.
Which is just terrifying. So, you know, I'm posting on Facebook, I'm like, stopped on It's a Small World, which is the most terrifying experience of my entire life, because all the robots are still moving, and the song just keeps going, you know?
Yes.
In whatever language that happens to be the room. I would have rather it been in another language, but it was in English when they were singing that verse, a particular verse of it, over and over. We stopped to like 15 minutes on the boat, and the robots just keep moving.
It's just torture.
So I posted this story on Facebook, because my favorite thing about It's a Small World is after you are finished with the ride, the last room you enter has all signs posted everywhere say goodbye in different languages. And I'm like, oh, you're going to murder us now. This is where we die.
Goodbye.
You're threatening us. That's my favorite part. You think you're finally done, and then we're going to kill you.
With a smile.
But as I posted all this on Facebook, this was a while ago, and a friend of mine from Starkville, who works at the community theater there, said he and his dad were at Disneyland, which was the original It's a Small World, that it actually goes outside and does some other stuff that this one doesn't
out in California.
Yeah. Somebody capsized their boat up ahead of them, and the ride stopped for an hour, and they were stuck on the boat for an hour, and they shut the music off. But they didn't shut the robots off. So they're still clinking and creaking and blinking at you and still doing the little dance, but there's no
holy
music.
Holy crap.
Which is the most horrifying experience.
Wes
in the
Craven
world,
couldn't have thought up something like that.
Which, you know, he said it like Sophia Petrillo on Golden Girls. Picture it. It's a Small World, 1995.
Jeez.
Telling the whole story. But yeah, that sounds like that would be my hell. I mean, that's like the worst experience ever.
Can you imagine someone who has to work that ride? And they, I would imagine they have high turnover because hearing that song over and over would drive you insane.
Imagine going through there in the dark.
That too.
Well, then you couldn't see the robots at least.
But you could hear them.
Especially, sure. What if you go
through? You could still hear them, you know.
And what if you go through in the dark and the music goes off?
And you just feel like a hand brushing. It's like a metal hand.
You just see eyeballs, blinking eyeballs.
Creaking.
Like, I'm very aware on that ride where all the exit doors are. More than anything else.
You'll swim out of there if you have to.
I know. I mean, you could pretty much. Yeah, there's about a foot and a half gap.
Yeah,
but if you make
true.
A good jump off the boat, you're fine. All onto the ledge. But I'm very aware of all the exits in that place because if I ever need one, I want to know, okay, if we're 2 feet away from one.
How long is it?
It's another like 3.5 minute, 4 minute tour of Hades.
Let's terrify kids and adults alike with this ride.
Have you seen Escape from Tomorrow?
No.
I recommend, not to our listeners, but to you, to watch Escape from Tomorrow. It is a film illegally filmed at Disney World.
Oh, really?
That went to Sundance a few years ago because you're not supposed to film at Disney World without permission. They they snuck in all their equipment and filmed at Disney World, and it's about a dad on a family vacation that is slowly losing his mind, like having a nervous breakdown. And there is a scene, and I was scared of this ride long before that, but there's a scene on It's a Small World where the robots start coming to life as little demonic creatures. It didn't help my passion.
Where can I find this movie?
It's online.
It's online.
It's
send me the link later.
Yeah, I was going to show you the poster so you could just get a feel for
Escape from Tomorrow.
The terrifyingness that
it's Mickey Mouse's hand covered in blood.
Yeah,
okay.
It's fine.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, there you go.
Sure, that'll end well.
Happiest Magical Kingdom.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
And then Epcot blows up.
Cool.
Yeah. The whole thing.
Okay.
I don't recommend it.
Well, I'll watch it anyway. I like that kind of stuff. I like scary movies.
It's not scary. It's just unsettling.
Okay. I like unsettling as well.
Very unsettling. Yeah, there they are on It's a Small World.
Nice.
As he's slowly losing his mind. Anyway, let's talk about things that relate
happier
to
things.
Mississippi. Yeah, because now I just hear those robots in my
head. Everyone's tuned us out.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
It's a Monday.
All day,
I'm afraid. Hey, how about that snow we got? Wow. Some people did get some, actually, in the listening,
Oxford,
viewing, listening, reading area.
It flurried.
It did flurry a little bit. But if you didn't wake up in time, you missed it Friday.
Yeah,
around here
this
in Tupelo, at least. Oxford had some snow enough to go sledding and some other areas.
It amazes me that, you know, 40 miles can do so much.
Yeah.
I always thought that. In high school at Tupelo High, like New Albany would always get something, but we would never get anything.
Yeah.
And that always...
We got a good bit last year, so, you know.
And the season's still young, I guess.
There's always one more right before Easter.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get up in the 60s this week, but then probably like March.
Spring break week always seems to be.
Spring break, let's have some snow.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Be prepared for yet another one.
What are we going to talk about today, Derek Russell?
Well, Sean Brevard's joining us in the past. We've got a recorded interview that Emma Kent did with her, talking about the Link Center Artist Residency, that the yearly event that they bring to town. We've got that. I believe we've been talking to Bobby Harrison about some school funding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Monday. I hope you have some crime reports
for me.
Oh,
I've got them lined up.
Well,
I have some
good
ones
good.
While you were gone. Yeah.
Well, we will get into it now. And with that, we will pass it over to Emma.
Okay, and now we've got Sean Brevard, Program Director for the annual Link Center Artist Residency Program, here to talk to us a little bit about that great three-week-long event that's coming up. Well, actually, it starts today. So, Sean, give us a little bit of background information on this program and tell us what it's all about.
Thank you, Emma. I appreciate your inviting me to participate today. The Artist Residency Program has been going on for many, many years now, and the intent is to bring high-caliber performing visual artists, all different kinds of artists, into the schools and into the community, in particular these days to support the arts integration focus of our Tupelo Public School District. So over the years, it's sort of evolved organically, and we've always been tied at its core to the schools. So we are in contact with their curriculum specialists, their arts integration folks, and we speak directly to them about the issues that the students face, that the staff face. And in years past, we've had everything from puppeteers to mime artists to origami artists to sculptors to musicians, you name it. We really run the gamut because if you're conscious of arts integration, that is a strategy for educators to use all forms of the arts to support curriculum all across the curriculum, any type of curriculum, social studies, math, science, language arts, et cetera. It's all pertinent. So a couple of years ago when we were planning for the 2015 residency, and these residencies require about a year's worth of planning to raise the funds and to implement all aspects of the residency itself. In speaking to the arts integration folks at the schools, they had a focus on writing. There had been shifting in our testing, and of course, writing skills are just essential. It's easy for me to say that when I'm sitting at the Daily Journal talking about writing skills. That's really important, and it's also tough. It's a tough skill for a lot of kids. They really are challenged with that. So with that in mind, we did lots of research and we came across a wonderful poet, spoken word, creative writer, artist, entrepreneur, teacher, you name it, multifaceted Renaissance woman named Asia Rainey, who grew up in the Ninth Ward of New Orleans. Really wonderful human being and artist. And she came last year for the 2015 artist residency, and she was here for 2 weeks. That was a change for us. We had typically been 4 or 5 days, maybe a week long, but certainly not 2 weeks. We'd never done one of that length. It was a remarkable residency. They've all been remarkable in their own unique ways, but this was a very effective residency to touch on the writing skills and the needs that the schools saw. And then also out in the community, there were some very remarkable stories that came about through her experiences at the Boys and Girls Club and Police Athletic League, et cetera, Lee County Library. She did a workshop. So the discussion point this year was, gee, that was really something special, mm-hmm. and we should try to add to that and deepen that work that was started last year. So this year's plan is expanded, and we are bringing Asia back. She'll be with us for about a week and a half of the 3 weeks, but we're bringing three other spoken word poets into the community. And instead of strictly working at the Tupelo Middle School, which is where Asia was housed last year for 2 weeks, we'll be back at the middle school with a different artist, but we will also be working at Milam with mm-hmm. the sixth grade students and at the high school with the ninth grade students. So instead of just seventh and eighth grade, we'll actually expand 6 through 9, which is very exciting. Marcus Montgomery is one of the artists. He'll be here this first week working at Milam. We're kind of going in grade level order. Mm-hmm. Marcus has actually got a little family connection. Jason Smith, who runs, was one of the lead administrators at the Police Athletic League. Marcus is actually his brother-in-law. He's from Little Rock, Arkansas, a very gifted poet, spoken word performer, and motivational speaker. So he'll be at Milam all week, and we have kind of varied schedules there, but he'll basically be seeing every student at Milam over the course of the week. In the afternoons, Marcus will go and have an hour-long workshop each day with the students at the Police Athletic League. And then on Saturday, he will have a special workshop for a Boy Scout Trooper 2, which will likely be housed at Link Center. We may be going to the Scout Troops location. I'm waiting to hear specifics on that. But so he will touch on school, Police Athletic League and Boy Scouts. When he will actually come back, he leaves on next Saturday, but he will come back for a public performance that I'll share when I get to the public performance piece. The next week, we'll move back to the Tupelo Middle School, and Asia Rainey has a young woman, kind of a mentee, a woman named Asia Vinay Palmer, who's in her early 20s, who is also a very gifted poet, spoken word performer, has been on one of Asia's spoken word teams that has competed at national competitions. And Asia Vinay is going to come up and work with middle school students for 4 of the 5 days of that second week. And then on the fifth day, that Friday, Asia Vinay and Asia Rainey will, she'll come up, Asia will be coming up, and the two of them will be leading professional development workshops most of that next, that day, that's the fifth, Friday the fifth, at the middle school and at Milam. And they'll bring in teachers from different schools. And I think the focus of that will be actually helping the teachers themselves do a little, some writing exercises so that they can get inspired and excited and think about sort of put the, you know, the truth is everyone struggles with writing. Mm-hmm. Writing is tough. I don't need to tell you guys, writing is tough. I can't imagine writing on the deadlines you guys have to deal with. Woo, there's a challenge. So that'll be a really wonderful way to deepen the impact, because obviously we want to work with the kids, but when you work with the teachers and they have the opportunity to continue and carry on that work. So hopefully we can sort of imprint. It's we wish we had more time with them. We'd always wish we had more time, but it'll be good. Additionally, we will have a fourth artist who will be coming in just for a couple days, and we have a very unique and special spoken word performer from right here in Tupelo, a woman named Lacey Roop. She graduated from Tupelo High School. She was, if anybody followed the women's basketball team back in, oh, I guess that was maybe like 2001 to 2005 or somewhere in that range. Lacey was a very talented basketball player. She lives in Austin, Texas, and her focus is poetry and spoken word, and she travels all around with that. But she has actually, although she has performed in Oxford, she has not performed back in her hometown. So we're super excited to have her back. She will also be in town on February 5th. So there's a point here in the middle of this residency where 3 of the 4 artists are all in town. On the day that the Asias are doing professional development, Lacey will be spending half a day at Fillmore Center and working with the students there. And then our first public performance will be that evening, very low-key, casual kind of vibe at Aunt B's Soul Food Restaurant down on South Green. And if y'all haven't eaten at Aunt B's, you need to go. The food is delicious. So they sometimes have music in the evenings, and Asia and Asia Vinay and Lacey will just sort of be hanging out. It's not a ticketed event. It's just we'll put a basket out and love offering. And, you know, if somebody wants to, as they call it, spit a poem, gee, they might even let you step up to the mic. So that'll be fun, casual, starting around 7 on Friday night the 5th at Aunt B's Soul Food Restaurant, South Green. On Saturday, those folks will split, and Lacey is going to be at the Lee County Library, and she'll be offering a creative writing workshop. And you'll be able to go to the library and find out more information about that. There's not a charge for that, but I believe they're going to ask for a sign-up so that they keep that within a certain number of folks. Asia did that last year, and we had a really great response. We had like 26 people show up, really interesting audience, a lot of variation in the group and the folks that were there. They had a great time. So there's certainly a great deal of interest and a lot of gifted writers out there in our community and our region. So this will be a fun opportunity for folks to come out and meet Lacey and get a little different perspective on poetry writing and creative writing. And so I want to encourage folks to sign up and call the library for that. I think that's 841-9027. You can call the library. And at that same time, the Asias, Asia and Asia Vinay, will be working with the kids at the Lee County Juvenile Detention Center. Lieutenant Partlow runs that program over there. And then that evening will be another public performance, and that will be at Link Center at 7:30 in our Black Box Theater. $10 ticket. There will be adult themes. We will not have a student price. So truth in advertising. But we look forward to having some folks come on down and witness 3 extremely powerful women. You will be blown away, I guarantee. They are amazing. And this is rare. We don't really have a lot of spoken word performances in our community. So come on out. It'll be a great time. After that, Lacey will head out, Asia Vinay will head out, but Asia Rainey will be here the third week. She will be at the high school the entire week working with ninth grade students. In the afternoon, she'll spend some time with women at the women's shelter, SAFE. And midweek, she's also going to do a little professional development session with strictly with Fillmore staff. And then that following weekend, Marcus will come back from Little Rock, and we're planning to do a little special feature at the Police Athletic League building. Asia and Marcus will both perform, and there will also be a spotlight on the spoken word team from Police Athletic League. We've got some pretty gifted kids there who will have pulled together some good stuff to share. And we want to invite folks out, and that will be a lower ticket price, $5, and we are hoping to raise some money for arts programming at the Police Athletic League. So that's the final thing would be after that, Asia will stay an extra couple of days. Every year, the Tupelo High School has a Black History Month program. It's always really well done. It is open to the community. It's, I believe, set for Tuesday morning, the 16th of February at 9 a.m. in the gym. And in years past, they always have as part of that program a speaker of some sort or a special featured performer. And many times our residency has connected with that. We've had Step Africa, Step Dance Troupe. We've had Glennis Redmond and Asia Rainey both, who are poets and spoken word folks. But this year we decided that it would be super cool to put a spotlight on the students themselves. So the plan is, with Asia working with some of the students the week before, that we will pull together some of their work and actually spotlight some of the younger students on the high school campus, some of those talented ninth grade students, and let them show their stuff. So we're super excited about that opportunity, and no telling what will come up, but I have every confidence that's going to be a really cool opportunity for those kids.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to get to go. I'm sure I'll be covering that, but I'm
count
excited.
On ya.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear some of those kids. I think that's really cool. So,
well, it's amazing what the inspiration that has come from last year with Asia, and what I'm confident will come with even more different artists, different viewpoints. You know, our kids. We have a lot of gifted kids, and in fact, all kids are gifted. Let's just name that. They're gifted in different ways.
They are.
And it's wonderful to have this kind of residency program. And I'm deeply appreciative of Dr. Loden, our superintendent. I'm deeply appreciative of our principals and our teachers that they are open to including outside groups, community groups, to come in and offer these kinds of high-caliber teaching opportunities and arts opportunities. It's wonderful to use these tools and strategies in the classroom, and that's really what at its core, and you're in education, so you understand. I know, Emma, you're working on some more focused articles on arts education,
mm-hmm.
but arts integration is a different concept than arts enrichment. And arts enrichment is wonderful. Exposure to arts of any kind is valuable. But arts integration is really keyed on the educator in the classroom and their ability to use those different mediums and support their curriculum and add depth and meaning and relevance to that curriculum. And oftentimes, using those different tools, music or visual art or poetry or speaking the words, there's a kinesthetic element where the full body is involved. It isn't just sitting there having stuff thrown at you. It's a more active involvement, and it sticks with kids. Information sticks with kids better, and they're able to synthesize. And of course, you hear about 21st century skills, the critical nature of critical thinking, of creativity, of teamwork and team building, and that's really what this is all about. This supports and incorporates all of those aspects in the classroom, and we will all reap the benefits from that. So it's super exciting work. But I will tell you, just from a personal standpoint, all of that is critical. But from a selfish standpoint, if you will, it's such an opportunity for me to, it's that light bulb moment. You hear educators talk about that. I get to sit there and watch these artists do their thing and witness the light bulb moment that comes with many of these kids right away. And some of it's a slow burn and some of it I'll never know, but there's stuff that happens and it is just phenomenal. It's just like watching a little flower open up. And for some kids, it's an incredible lifeline. Mm-hmm. This is what keeps them in school. This is what saves their lives. You know, the need to express oneself is innate to who we are as humans. And in a school setting, we sometimes get so regimented, and we kids lose that opportunity. So it's really a beautiful thing.
Well, it sounds like our students have a really fun 3 weeks to look forward to. So Thanks for sharing with us, Sean. We appreciate you being here. Sounds great.
Thank you, Emma.
Need to remind y'all about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms. And now we bring in Bobby Harrison, our Capital Bureau reporter from down in Jackson. How you doing on this Monday, Bobby?
Hey, Brad, I'm all right. What about you?
No, I can't complain, man. Got some education funding to talk about. That's always a hot topic these days. You had a story over the weekend about Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves proposing some changes to the Mississippi Adequate Education Program. Basically, it would take $80 million less to fully fund the program if it's based on the average cost of operating A and B districts, as Reeves has suggested. Current formula uses the average cost of operating C-level districts. Can you kind of explain a little bit what that means exactly?
Yeah, you can really get lost in the weeds on the MAEP formula, but the key thing to remember, Brad, is the formula provides a state share of money for operation in local school districts, be it teacher salaries, turning on lights every morning, paying for the janitors, not everything, but practically, I mean, all the sort of the basis of operating local school districts. From that, the important thing to remember is that when it was created, it was going to be based on the average cost of what it costs for a C-level district, or at the time it was an adequate or average district, to operate every day. And so the State Department of Education takes C-level districts and they calculate how much it costs to educate a child in that district. And then they multiply that by the number of kids enrolled in a school district, and thus you have how much money the school district will receive. And then it's also important to remember, I'm getting you in the weeds, which I promise I wouldn't do, that the state doesn't pay the entire cost. The local school district is responsible for some of the cost, but the poorer the school district is, the less of the cost it's responsible for. Like, say, a wealthy district like, say, Ocean Springs down the coast, if it costs $5,000 to educate a child, they may be paying $1,000 of that amount, where a poor school district, say Quitman County up in the Delta, may be paying only $100 of that cost. So, but anyway, you get to that formula. And as it turns out, if you use A and B level districts, the State Department of Education ran those numbers at the request of legislators. And if you use A and B level district, the cost is about $80 million less. I mean, they ran several formulas with using just A districts, using just B districts, using A and B districts, and using A and B districts, which is kind of the proposal the lieutenant governor has made. It would cost about $80 million less. You know, the lieutenant governor, now it's important to stress also that, I mean, he's just said this is something we should consider. It's not a done deal. This is what's going to happen. I mean, there'll be a lot of debate about this, I'm sure, during the legislative session. But the important thing to remember is, and also the lieutenant governor says that the A and B districts spend more on classroom instruction and less on administration, which if you look at the formula and run the numbers, that's true. Maybe a number of reasons for that. You know, the A and B districts, some people point out, or a lot of those are the more affluent districts like Madison, Ocean Springs, I mentioned earlier, Rankin County. Big districts also, DeSoto County, that can do more on an economy of scale. So that may be, it may explain one of the reasons that the A and B district is spending less on administration. You know, some people would argue that it's just because, you know, they operate more efficiently and get more bang for their buck. But anyway, right, if that came about, you know, it would be, you know, the legislature's been pounded on, you know, for not fully funding the formula. It'd be easier to do. For this current year, it's about $200 million underfunded. Since 2008, it's $1.7 billion underfunded. And since it was enacted in 97, it's been fully funded twice. So, you know, this has been a constant battle, and this is one way that would make it a little easier to do. The flip side of that is, you know, we're already one of the states spending the least amount of money on public education in the nation. So, you know, if we did this, we'd be spending less money. So, you know, there's all sorts of factors to consider.
So does that put more onus on the local districts to fund things? Clarify for me.
Yeah, that's a good question. If less state money's coming, sure, that would be one of the possibilities. Less state money would mean more local money. And then another factor that the State Department of Education, I didn't even get into this, the State Department of Education also ran numbers at the request of legislators to instead of right now, no district is going to have to spend more than 27% of the total of that average educated child. If it's $1,000, no district is going to spend more than $270 to educate a child.
Okay.
But one of the things they did run is increasing that amount of money that the local district should be responsible for. Right now, whatever local districts spend above that 27% is considered a bonus. You know, Tupelo spends considerably more than that, but they do it, they say, to add more than the minimum because they want to be more than just a sea level district, an adequate district. So you would definitely be putting more of a burden on the local school districts if you did the things that legislators are considering.
How does State Superintendent Kerry Wright feel about this proposal?
Her response the other day was the legislators of the policymaking branch, they just run the numbers that they're requested to by the legislature. She says she does understand that the legislature is trying to get to a point where the school districts are operating the most efficient and using, you know, the best practices to educate children. But, you know, she said that the State Board of Education, for which she works, has not voiced an opinion on changing the formula. They have been adamant in the past that they want the formula fully funded. So she kind of walked a tightrope on that, not making the legislators mad, and at the same time trying not to upset superintendents who might be facing receiving less state money.
All right. Y'all can read more on this story in Sunday's Journal and at djournal.com. Bobby, thank you.
All right. Thank y'all.
If you want more Bobby Harrison, we got the weekly webcast, Capitol View, coming up today. We do this every Monday during this current legislative session. Bobby and I will be talking about what's going on down there in Jackson. It'll be online at djournal.com sometime this afternoon. So look forward there.
Now we move on to today's news memo. Four Starkville residents soon will open the city's first brewery. The founders expect to open Mayhew Junction Brewing Company sometime in February. It will be located at the former Wasson's Fish House on 106 Eckford Drive in Starkville. The two couples said they want to keep a community-focused brewery. It will feature 13 different styles of beer and will also provide walking tours.
A couple is facing multiple felony fraud charges just months after opening a New Orleans-themed restaurant in Saltillo. Lisa Alexander and Jesse Alexander are charged with false pretense and accused of selling a house they did not own. The couple had opened 504 Restaurant in Saltillo late last year. The restaurant suddenly closed on January 7th.
The North Mississippi Red Cross raised more than $50,000 during its annual fundraiser on Saturday night. The nonprofit hosted its 9th annual Evening of Jazz event. Executive Director Patty Tucker said the funds help with various projects like natural disaster assistance, helping victims of house fires, and providing families with smoke detectors. Ted Mall received the first Red Cross Humanitarian Award, and Mall is a former Executive Vice President of World Operations of Modern Tool and Die Company.
Elvis tribute artist Paul Kevin Curtis is seeking financial damages for his wrongful arrest and jailing in 2013. Curtis was initially accused in a case involving ricin-laced letters sent to public officials, including President Barack Obama and United States Senator Roger Wicker. Ultimately, James Everett Dutschke was indicted, convicted, and sentenced to prison. Curtis filed a lawsuit last week against the United States government, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Department of Homeland Security, and former U.S. Prosecutor John Marshall Alexander. The lawsuit seeks actual and punitive damages, plus attorney fees and court costs.
And finally, a Tupelo High School graduate will take over as director of the Mississippi Highway Patrol on February 1st. Lieutenant Colonel Chris Gillard has been with the MHP for 23 years and served in a number of positions throughout that time. After graduating from Tupelo High, he received a football scholarship and attended Alcorn State University. Gillard replaces Colonel Donald Berry, who announced his retirement.
Need to remind y'all about a couple of our sports podcasts we got coming up this week. Prep Rally, our high school sports podcast, will drop on Wednesday, as it does every week. It'll be me and somebody else. Gene Phelps is going to be out of town, so he will not be joining us, but I'll find somebody to fill in there. We'll be talking about a lot of basketball, obviously, going on, a lot of big games, and then I had the Hotbed Classic this past weekend and whatnot. Big game tonight, by the way, Ingemar and Baldwin boys. So look for our coverage of that and more high school sports, and also double coverage, Ole Miss and MSU Sports Talk with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. Check that out on Thursday. With those two guys, and you can listen to that on iTunes or on your podcast app or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. And also, Prep Rally is also available on iTunes and podcast apps and at preprally.djournal.com. And Derek is trying to make me laugh, which is why I was turned the other way.
I got lockjaw, sorry.
Lockjaw, yeah.
Got stuck there.
Hey.
Make me laugh. Give me crime reports.
Oh, crime reports. It's Monday. We got crime reports. Boy, do we have some. Good old crime reports. Man, it's some good stuff today. Let me tell you.
Oh, well, I hope so. As much as you're pumping it up.
I'm just trying to leave you hanging here. Okay. A Verona contractor said he has worked in the past with a man who has been doing new jobs and using the contractor's license number without his permission. That's a no-no. The contractor went to a job site on County Road 51 to tell the homeowner what was happening. And the man, the guy stealing his license number, hit him in the side with a 2x4 and then hit his truck, leaving a dent in the hood. Just picked up a 2x4 and just whacked him with it.
Wait, that got way out of it. So, like, did he know he was there? Did he just go tell the house? And all of a sudden, it was like, surprise! And the guy just came out of nowhere.
That's what I'm thinking.
Like a movie.
Yeah. I don't know.
He just leapt out of the shadow.
Was there, like, music, too? Like, Jason music?
Or? Sure there was. Yeah, because he just goes to he knows this guy's working at this job site. He goes there, tells the homeowner, hey, this guy's not legit.
Hey, he's not legitimate. He's like, surprise!
I'm like, is the homeowner standing there when the guy whacks him with the 2x4?
Was he wearing a hockey mask?
I don't know. Nah, he would have had a machete.
Did he get out his phone and start taking pictures?
Hit him with the 2x4, then just, hit his truck, too.
Yeah, and the homeowner just stood there?
I don't know. Hopefully he called 911.
I had a scary thing happen the other night.
Oh, yeah?
The night when everything was supposed to get really bad with the snow and everything.
Yeah.
What was that?
Thursday night
that it never really did. But it was raining really bad. And yeah. I was on 45 heading south, and I was coming up on the McCullough exit. Mm-hmm. And there was a car in front of me, and she just lost control and hydroplaned and did about 3 spins and flipped and went down into the ditch. And there was nobody else around. It was like 10 feet from me.
Oh, yeah.
I saw
you post something about that.
I got really close to hitting her and didn't happen. Anyway, went down there and pulled her out from the ditch down there and helped her. And she was fine. I was like, you should be dead. But it was terrifying.
That was right before that big curve and goes under the bridge.
Going up, yeah. Yeah.
It's a bad spot.
Right before that. Yeah. Called the cops and they said it was right where the gravel turns to asphalt, where the paved gravel turns into asphalt, and the texture changed right there. But she was good. I don't know why that made me think of that. It did. I think just the surprise, because that's how it happened. It was like car from nowhere in front of me.
That's not good.
Well, glad she's okay.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. Okay, an officer responded to a medical office on Crossover Road. It's not far from Journal headquarters. For an intoxicated man in the restroom. The officer found the man drinking a Bud Light in the bathroom. He was arrested and charged with open container and public drunk. Just go to the doctor's office and crack open a Bud Light.
They needed a specimen. He didn't know how else.
I wish I thought of that one for the blog.
Just give me a Bud Light. I'll be good.
I can't fill up this cup unless you give me a Bud Light or a 6.
I'm not drunk. I'm just drinking. Total difference. I'm not an alcoholic. Only alcoholics go to meetings.
Oh, yeah. So... Why would you go to the doctor's office to drink? I don't know. Maybe he was expecting bad news.
Why do people go a lot of places and drink?
Maybe he did just get bad news.
Maybe that was it.
I tell you.
Just happened to have a Bud Light with him in the middle of the day.
Just in case.
Talk.
carry this beer in here. Okay. An officer responded to Lumpkin Avenue at Bristow Street at 3 a.m. and found a man passed out in an SUV, stopped in the middle of the road and blocking both lanes of traffic. Man said he had been drinking but didn't know how much. He was charged with DUI and taken to the jail.
How much have you been drinking? Enough.
Enough. Just, yeah. Just asleep at the wheel, literally.
Well, that's good. That's better than the alternative.
Better than driving, I guess. Yeah. But still.
And that's a far enough road. It's not like somebody was going to just come out and hit him. So
true.
Right. So that's close to my house. Of the scenarios, that sounds like a good one.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
Yeah.
Could have stayed home, too.
Probably would have been. Yeah. Should have stayed where he was.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Passed out drunk at 3 a.m. in your car in the middle of the road. One more. This is a good one. I'm going to like this one, Derek.
Don't oversell it.
That's really good. An officer responding to a disturbance at an East Main hotel encountered a man who said he was homeless. The hotel staff said he was acting strange and disoriented. The man told the officer he was going to buy the hotel and he was there to meet Paris Hilton. The officer told the man to leave. A short time later, the officer was called back to the hotel because of the same suspect who was arrested and taken to jail. I wonder if this was a Hilton Garden Inn, because Paris Hilton just says East Main Hotel.
There's so many Monopoly jokes I want to make. Okay. They encountered a homeless man. I don't know what that means.
That's what it says.
I don't know if that means he came in the lobby or what.
Wandered in, I guess. Yeah.
But they encountered a homeless man. This was late?
It does not say when it was.
Okay. I'm just walking through the steps here because there's many layers to this we need to peel back. They encountered a homeless man who said that he was going to buy the hotel.
Yes, going to purchase the hotel, I guess on the spot.
The cops were called twice on this individual?
Yeah, the officer told the man to leave.
Uh-huh.
And I guess he did, but then he must have come back. I guess he was still looking to buy the hotel.
He shopped prices. He was back.
Probably. And he was like, well,
he had gotten Boardwalk, and he was ready for...
He didn't want to miss Paris Hilton.
I guess, yeah.
Up. He was afraid of missing the connection with her. Paris Hilton. Wait, Duplo, talk
about an
news.
Outdated reference, Paris Hilton.
10 years ago. Could have had some really good jokes with that. But what is she doing these days?
Maybe the last time he saw a TV, we probably shouldn't laugh.
Too late.
I have more Monopoly jokes to make.
How old is Paris Hilton? Now I want to know, because she's like, you know.
Is that a setup for a joke?
An actual grown-up now.
Oh.
Were the two things connected? Like, he had to buy the hotel to meet Paris Hilton?
To meet Paris Hilton?
I guess, because her dad.
It was like, if I buy it, then I'll get to meet her.
Because her dad is the guy that
owns
it, or did at one point at least. Yeah.
Okay.
So Paris Hilton is only 34. She's still young.
So walk me through the exact dialogue of the offense report again. Specifically, the point in which he wants to buy the hotel and Paris Hilton comes into the picture.
The man told the officer he's going to buy the hotel. So he's talking to the officer. He's like, I'm here because I'm going to buy the hotel.
I'm going to buy the hotel, officer.
And he was there to meet Paris Hilton. Maybe she was
conducting Paris Hilton.
So maybe she was conducting
and
the sale.
She's got the legal documents, the binding documents.
So maybe she's doing actual work now.
Well, good for her.
Yeah. She needs to get a job.
I'd take her to be the homeless one. Okay. Well, he had a busy day. I wonder.
Yeah. So.
Was he carrying that kind of cash around with him?
That's dangerous to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, anyway.
Can't be cheap.
I'm going to buy the hotel. Here's the problem with me as a police officer. I'd let that go on for as long as it could.
Tell me more.
Yes. What are your plans? I'd let that go on for far too long.
What kind of improvements are you going
to
make?
Okay, you need to go.
kind of upgrades you have.
Like, if my time's going to get wasted, I'm going to at least be entertained in the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why I'm a reporter.
So this is that's it for crime reports. Read more of these at tipsheet.djournal.com. It's my blog. Check it out. It's good to have you back, Derek.
Hey.
The ladies filled in nicely, but I guess we'll let you have your chair back. We were really thinking about just giving it to Emma.
That's fine.
Permanently.
If that's the thing that needs to happen, that's, you know.
We got to where we had a pretty good rapport going, Emma and I. So, you know.
Well, I'm sorry that I had to tear that apart.
Well, you know, just know that you're expendable.
I'm replaceable. Just know that we don't need you. That's fine. I don't need you. I want to buy a hotel and meet Paris Hilton. I don't need you. I don't need any of you. Turn into Steve Martin at the end of the jerk. I need this lamp. That's all I need. I don't need you or anything else. I need this chair.
Just go back to the bathroom and drink some Bud Light. Okay.
It's him. It was a progression.
That's what it was.
It started that morning.
He's drinking in the bathroom. He's like,
I'm gonna buy that hotel on East Main.
Paris Hilton. She's obviously
the one. Later that night, he's in the SUV, passed out.
Obviously, yeah. Disappointed that it didn't work out.
It's like a Curious George book. It went pretty. We followed him pretty far.
Well, and he was at the doctor's office after getting hit by the 2x4.
Oh, that's all connected. It's like an episode of Lost all of a sudden.
Well, I'd like to think that was the one upstanding citizen in the reports was the guy that got hit by the 2x4.
Fair enough.
I thought you said the guy that hit with the 2x4. No.
Maybe he hurt himself when he hit the guy with the
2x4. I like that logic. You're using my license illegally.
That'll show you.
I'll use this illegally.
I risked my case.
My rebuttal.
Whack. Oh, you helped me make a good point, sir. Feel free to use the license. All right. Well, either way, it's good to be back, even though no one I'm replaceable. I guess that means I'll up my game.
Okay.
But I probably won't.
Follow us on Twitter. We need to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that where we're going now?
Well, we're closing the show, aren't we?
Oh.
Unless you got something else to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Waiting on you, pal. At DJournal Memo on Twitter.
I got nothing. Yeah.
Send us an email. Memo at journalinc.com. Tell us your Disney horror stories or something.
Yes. Tales from It's a Small World.
Yeah. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke.
I'm at Twitter at W. Derek Russell. Chris is at Twitter at Chris Kiefer.
Two Fs. Two E's.
Two E's.
One K. One R. One I.
One I.
But not right next to each other.
Figure it out.
Not in that order.
Yeah.
Scrabble.
No. Yeah. So we'll be back on Wednesday. I missed you, buddy.
Aw. Yeah. That's so nice.
Send the show on that note. Okay. See y'all on Wednesday.
I was going to make a hotel reference, but never mind.
See y'all on Wednesday.